Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Wednesday, April the 13th. Good thing it isn't a Friday. And it's a nice sunny day here in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Bastion, Virginia. And as promised, I was put the show on today to accommodate a very special guest and friend of mine, singer-songwriter from The Voice, Team Blake, Season 6. Joining us to kick off her NASCAR radio tour, the one and only and lovely and talented Audra McLaughlin. Audra, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Hi, good morning. Thank you. Well, good afternoon, actually. Thank you for having me.
Well, since we met over the radio and watching you on The Voice and following your career, being the good singer that you are, I'd like to see good things happen to all my guests. And we have a mutual friend that set all this up for us. Shout out to Melissa Daly, owner and another songwriter and singer, too. You two collaborated on a song about the Delco Let There Be Rock School, where all this originated from.
Yes, she's my other co-writer, and her and I, you know, we write together, and she's super talented. She's like, I always call her my superwoman because she does everything. She's like, she's a songwriter. She, you know, she's my creative director. She's my manager. She's, you know, she's kind of like one in all, and it's awesome because she's just talented in every avenue that everything that she does. So it's definitely a blessing to have somebody like her in my corner, you know, helping me with my career and, you know, setting all this cool stuff up. So it's awesome.
That's pretty good because, you know, I met her through when I used to do a show up in your area back in the day. If I'd have known about then, if this all would have happened then, we could have had you live in studio as opposed to live on the phone.
Well, hey, I mean, when I'm in Virginia, hopefully for a show, then maybe I could come in and do an interview with you. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool, too. I mean, I do the radio show from my – actually, I do it from home. That's what's good about online. I could take my computer and my mixer and my microphone anywhere and set up shop.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's the best thing. You know, when you have all the setup in your house, you don't – you don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, if I want to.
It works out.
If I want to have a beer, I can do that, but it's a little early for that now. And, right now, it's
exactly.
Just coffee. I just got up a couple hours ago, had to feed the cats and all that. So you're going on a NASCAR radio tour show, and you're kicking it off in my neck of the woods in Bristol, Tennessee.
Yes. Yep, it's very exciting. This is my first. It's my first ever tour for NASCAR, and it's definitely, I'm so excited to be starting it off with NASCAR because, you know, the NASCAR fans are just, I've heard that they're just awesome. They're country fans, you know, which is my genre of music. And I'm just really excited to kind of expand and kind of show, you know, kind of what I have to other people like in the world that haven't, you know, maybe they haven't witnessed me on The Voice or they've never heard of me before. So it'll be cool because I'll get to meet new people and expand, you know, my fan base. And, you know, it'll be a really, really awesome experience for me. So it's really, really exciting. And I'm happy that I'm getting to start off in Bristol, Tennessee. So I've heard it's beautiful, and I can't wait to see the track and be there. So it's going to be awesome.
Now, will you be doing a concert there at the track, or will you be singing the national anthem, or both? What's the layout so people can track you down all weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. So I will actually be doing both. I will be singing the national anthem on Friday, I think around 7 or so. I think maybe 6 or 7. And then I will be doing my set. I'll be doing an hour set and a mix of originals and covers. And it's going to be, we put a really cool set together, so it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not really sure which radio stations I will be on yet, but I plan on kind of keeping my fans updated through social media and like posting and kind of keeping them updated. That way they can tune in and, you know, just kind of hopefully I can get to meet some people, you know, that live close by that have wanted to, you know, meet up and or meet me and everything. So it'll be awesome. It's going to be a lot of fun and I'm really excited about it.
I wish I'd have known sooner. I'd have made arrangements.
I know. I'm so sorry. You know, I had no idea that you actually lived close by, or I would have definitely told you or had Melissa mention it to you. But I'll be in Bristol again. I don't know if it's in August or I have the schedule on my page, but I'll definitely be down there again. So I'll be kind of making my way. I'll be in Michigan. I'll actually be in Virginia, I believe, for one of the shows. So I'll have to get you that information. That way you can hopefully come down and we can meet.
Definitely. And we'll plug the events too. So it's good to have that on hand. I'll broadcast your whereabouts. So this way I can have the information and broadcast your whereabouts at a track near everybody.
Absolutely. Yeah. That'll be exciting. I'll definitely keep you updated. I'll send you the dates and that way, you know, you know where I'm at, and if you're close by, maybe you can come by to the track and we can meet.
Well, if you're swinging through the area this way, maybe you could stop in and we'll tip back a few before you have to get on stage and perform, like the night before, or maybe on the way home when you want to unwind and relax. I have a something in a mason jar you might want to try.
It's a moonshine. No, I'm just kidding.
I'll introduce you to the wife. And is Melissa coming with you, or is she just
no?
She's
at the school. She has to teach lessons and things this week, but she's going to be coming to some of the other NASCAR dates with me. In Dover and Pocono, she'll be there with me. So I'll be going up there with the promoter of the event and few other people. So it'll be a fun road trip and. You know, Melissa, I'm excited that Melissa will get to come next time. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, sitting here on the hilltop in the Blue Ridge Mountains, you're going to find the area nice if you have never been here. You've been to Nashville, but this is a little further west in the mountains and the Blue Ridge and all that. It's, you might get some inspiration to take absorb the scenery.
Oh, absolutely. I'm bringing my guitar, too, so maybe I'll write a cool song while I'm out there, you know? You just never know when a song's kind of come to you, especially when you're somewhere else and you get inspiration. I'm excited to – I'm a sucker for scenery and for, you know, for different things because, you know, I mean, I live in the suburbs of right outside of Philadelphia and, you know, I don't see, you know, mountains and things and, like – cool stuff like that. So it's always nice when I get to go other places and kind of absorb, like, you know, the land and the beauty of other places. So it's going to be exciting.
Well, if you ever want to come down to visit, the wife and I would love to have you. We'll throw some meat in the smoker and smoke some wings or ribs or...
Well, that sounds perfect. I would love to.
You always
I'll bring
go to
Melissa.
My Facebook.
That will,
oh, there you
yeah.
go.
Yeah. That'll be fun. It'll be a little road trip.
I'll dig out my bass and pluck a few. I haven't picked it up in years, but.
Well, I'm sure you're so awesome at it because, you know, they say once you pick it up again is when you you kind of just get back into it, you know.
Now, you're going to be branching into some rock and roll. I noticed a little ink on the back of your neck there.
So I am like a huge rock fan too. I think, you know, with country music too, I think country music is everything now. I just think it's a mix of, you know, all genres. You know, there's a little bit of rock and roll, there's a little bit of pop, there's, you know, I just think there's a mix of everything nowadays. So, I mean, I've always loved rock music too. My dad and my mom, you know, they're huge, like, Led Zeppelin fans and Rolling Stones and, you know, all that stuff, The Who and like, a, you know, a bunch of different rock bands and stuff like that. And I think I kind of got into that growing up, just kind of, hearing them listen to it. And I kind of mixed it into my style when I started singing country music. So kind of like when I perform a set, I do mix a little bit of like Guns N' Roses and, you know, some Led Zeppelin into my set. I just think it's, you know, it's just more fun that way, you know, because it's cool that country music has opened up the doors for kind of a new sound. And I think it's, you know, it's awesome. It's definitely kind of opened the doors for a lot of artists that might have not been able to kind of make it in the country music scene. But now they're able to because of the changes in the sound. So it's going to be exciting. Got a cool set put together, and I hope everybody likes it. So it's awesome.
Well, speaking of country music and the evolution of it to where it is today, one of the all-time greats had passed not too long ago, Merle Haggard.
Yes, Merle Haggard. Oh, I was so upset when I heard the news. I was like, Merle Haggard. I was so upset because I'm like, I'm never going to get to meet him now, you know? That's like someone, and, you know, he's a legend. I mean, I mean, if you don't know who Merle Haggard is, I think, then you shouldn't be in country music because he's really shaped everything for everybody, you know? And he's just, he's really impacted a lot of musicians, maybe even outside of country. I know he's done a lot of duets with even, I believe the one he did a duet with Grace Potter, and that was like one of my favorites. So it's a shame, you know. I was like so upset. I was like, I'm never gonna get to meet him, but you know, God rest his soul. He's super talented, and I think his music is just going to live on, you know, to generation to generation. So
I was not a. I knew of Merle Haggard. I wasn't a real big, I don't know what I was growing up musically. I guess I tried everything. I mean, from the young age of whatever second grade was, starting with a piano, going to an accordion, then some guitar, and then the bass.
Yeah.
And then I got to high school. I played a tuba and a cello for a while. So,
so
I
kind of
tried different things. And, but I,
hey,
I was a big Johnny Cash fan, and there's, you know, another old time country singer that kind of shaped the
Oh, he did.
The world.
He absolutely did. Even his style, you know, I still see people sometimes they have that that Johnny Cash like kind of, I mean, no one can obviously implement his style. It was just so different, you know, from that time period. But he's definitely been, you know, someone that people have looked up to over the years. And his music definitely, you know, it's just so different from kind of what you hear nowadays, but that's kind of what makes them still, kind of stand out amongst everybody because they just kind of had their own unique sound and nobody really sounded like them.
I know. And because the era back then was called country Western, and that really was the genre. Now it's country where the music has evolved. And I remember George Carlin did a bit on it. He said, you know, country music was a blam, my baby is dead, blam, got hit by a train, blam, big old train. It was funny, but it's not funny. But if you could appreciate the humor of Carlin, that's speaking of somebody who's passed on, it was a genius of his time. But now it's more upbeat and, you know, kind of has that rock edge. Because at least it has, you know, back
then. Yeah,
we have country rock bands or rockabilly, had the 38 Special, and of course Lynyrd Skynyrd, which kind of gone from a southern rock to now, you know, after what happened to them and them coming back stronger than ever. And now you got rock stars doing country, Kid Rock, Steven Tyler. I mean,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And the other one too, is it Aaron Lewis?
Oh yeah,
Aaron Lewis. Yes. Mm-hmm. Stain. Yeah, Aaron Lewis. Yes, from Stain. He released a few country songs, I believe. Yep. And then Steven Tyler. It's crazy, you know. It's awesome too. I mean, because even who's the other one that? Oh gosh, he did a few duets with Loretta Lynn.
Oh boy.
And I'm kind of drawing a blank on this one, but yeah, I mean, it's just, it's definitely, like I said, I mean, I don't even think there's really like you know, kind of any genre. I just think all the genres kind of are mixed now. You know, everybody's kind of like Katy Perry did a duet with it was Dolly Parton on the ACMs the other night. I mean, you know, it's just things have just become so different now, and it's kind of just like I said, it's opened the doors for so many artists that might have not have been able to kind of work their way into the country music scene. And you know, like you said, it's a lot more upbeat. Because, you know, back then, of course, it was, you know, songs about, like, you know, breakups and, you know, and there's still that, I still love those beautiful country songs that have that kind of feel to it. Like, I love Cole Swindell's song, I Wish You Were, You Should Be Here, the one that was about his father. And I still love those songs that come into country music that kind of, you know, make you teary-eyed or that kind of make you feel something. But, yeah, you know, I mean, it's changed, but I think it's good, and you know, it's just it's kind of just how the music industry is. You know, things are always going to be changing and evolving, so it's you just never know.
And then you have you always had the talent shows, Star Search being the first one back in the day, and then
yes, I tried
American
out for that,
Idol.
Actually,
you did.
Yes, I was. How old was I? Must have been like maybe 10 years old, I think.
Wow.
Yep, I was 10. My dad, I remember, he waited in line all night for me while me and my mom slept in a warm hotel room. God bless my parents that, you know, they do everything for you. And he tells the story, it was freezing cold and I waited in this lawn chair all night for you to get into the audition. But, you know, the things that parents do for you, you always have to appreciate and remember those moments.
Yeah, it's not like the days. Well, you know, it's like sleeping out for concert tickets in the line at the Spectrum trying to get there for. I've done that a few
exactly.
times.
Exactly. It's crazy.
But it's just weird. I mean, then you know, then the American Idol and X Factor and The Voice. I think. It's probably, so you were on, it's probably the best venue for talent because, you know, even when they're critical, the judges are critical of a performance, they're not like Simon Cowell, like, you're rubbish and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's just like,
right,
give you a pointer
right.
on what you could work on. And,
yeah, I think they're encouraging, you know, they normally, even if they felt that the performance wasn't the best from the artist, they still kind of... they still kind of want to give positive, you know, words of encouragement because, you know, to kind of, especially on national TV, I mean, you have millions of viewers and they just kind of want to keep the show positive. It's a family show. You know, a lot of young kids watch it and, you know, a lot of younger musicians and things that want to be on the show watch it. So they definitely, you know, they try to give them the best advice that they can to just improve their, you know, improve them for next time. So it is, it's nice that, you know, they're not mean to them and, you know, they have nice things to say. So that's why I love that show. But yeah, you know, American Idol, when Simon Cowell was on there, he was brutal in those beginning years. I think he kind of eased up a little bit after a little while, but he still was brutal.
Yeah, I know. It's the,
you know,
but I think, you know, the first couple episodes when they're weeding through the, auditioners, that's where the train wreck TV comes in. It probably drew a lot of ratings.
Yeah,
you get people
yeah.
that didn't know, you know, of course everybody's pepped up by mommy and daddy and then they, you know, step onto a venue where people in the business are judging and then
yeah.
The harsh reality. And you could see it on
yeah.
TV, you know, like, why did these people get encouraged to do this? You know,
oh yeah, it's TV. You know, everything for TV is always going to be. There's always going to be some type of, you know, acting involved. Pretty much, they tell you to do this and tell you to do that because it's for TV. You know, it's for ratings. It's for people to kind of be interested in the show. And being a part of reality TV, I know that a lot of things aren't real sometimes. So, but you know, I mean, The Voice kind of stayed true to who they were with what they viewed. I mean, there wasn't many things that kind of were behind the scenes that were fake. I mean, it really is a real show. I mean, And the people, the cast and everybody, they're just such nice people. So it was, you know, it was really good to get the opportunity to be on The Voice, because, you know, you never felt really discouraged because they always kind of made you feel comfortable. And, you know, it was just a really great show. They were really, really good to us. So it was good.
Yeah, I have to DVR and watch it all on weekends, and it's a little tough when races are on because
I
figure now they're heading to the lives, because from 3 to 11 I'm at another job, and which is kind of, when I used to do the, when I used to the day shift back up north, you know, I could catch all these shows as they aired at night, do my show on Monday nights at good old WNJC 1360 AM on your dial. I always give them a plug because they've been good to me. And Melissa used to do the Well-Advised Woman, was her show. She originally did it with Al Heaton, then he left and she did it on her own. And I got to meet some pretty interesting people like Annie Haslam of Renaissance.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You ever meet her?
Yeah, she's... no, I have not. I have not met her, but... yeah, but no, Melissa's a genius. She really is. She knows her stuff. You know, I always trust her advice, and you know, she's just an overall great person. And you know, I'm just glad to have her in my life. So, you know, I think people always meet for a reason. You know, then I just wish I would have found her when I was, you know, younger. But I'm glad that I found her at a good time where, you know, for her to help guide my career. And you need that type of person in a crazy music business like this, because you need someone to watch over you and make sure, you know, you're not getting ripped off and things like that. So
that's
great.
The key right there, because it's easy to take advantage of somebody when they're not sure of the outlying particulars. And Melissa wasn't shaping her own career at that time. That's why she probably couldn't meet you when you were younger.
Absolutely. And, you know, but now she's, you know, now she's helping shape others' careers, and, you know, she loves what she does. So I think everybody ends up kind of ending up in their path that they were supposed to kind of be in, you know?
Yeah. Person that you might be interested in knowing, that somebody else that used to do a show on that station. There's an old band back from the late 60s called the Vanilla Fudge, and their guitarist did two shows there. Vinnie Martell.
Oh, yes. I've heard that before. Yes. I'm trying to think. I might have been younger when that was on, but I do remember the name.
Well, your dad probably might remember the band. I'm about his age, if not older.
How old are you?
Believe it or not, I'll be 58 this November.
Okay, yeah. So my dad and mom are, I think, like 56 or so. Yeah, so they're definitely up around there. They're in Jamaica right now, so they're enjoying life.
It's nice and warm, and I saw a picture.
Yeah,
was that you and your sister? She's getting married.
Well, it's my cousin, but we're pretty much sisters. We've been close since we were little. So it's my mom and her mom are sisters. So, So she's getting married next month. So that's definitely, I'm the maid of honor in the wedding, and it's gonna be an emotional moment. It's really excited. I'm just so happy for her. It's really gonna be such a great moment.
Well, that's cool. Congratulations for me, and I know as a maid of honor, you get to throw the bachelorette party or the shower or whatever.
Yep, we did the shower. That was a few weeks ago, and then in a few weeks we have the bachelor party in Sea Isle. So we have that. We have the dinner for before, like the practice
rehearsal?
Dinner, or the rehearsal dinner. Jeez, I was trying to think of the word. So it's going to be a really good moment for her, and I'm excited for her. So it's going to be really cool. And I got to wish my parents a happy 25th anniversary, too. So
happy 25th to the McLaughlins.
Yes, happy 25th. I love you guys.
They love you, too.
To watch, I know. They're awesome. I love them. I'm so happy that they got to get away. They're hard workers. They really are. And, you know, they deserve a little vacation.
What you ought to have them do is to get a nice getaway proper. Are they beach people? I guess I say if you get them a nice little place here in the mountains.
Yeah, one day when I get that nice record deal and I have some good money coming in, those millions, when I start seeing those millions, my parents are the first people that I'll definitely buy something nice for.
A good way to look. That's what everybody does anyway, you know, is take care of the parents because the parents took care of them all throughout the formative years and then some.
They've always, they're my biggest fans, so you got to take care of the parents first.
So coming down to Bristol, you going to watch the race. Now, if you're going to Bristol this time and then going back in August for the night race, now that's the fun race. Under the lights on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think this one's like kind of like the kickoff or something. You know, it's funny. I've actually never been to a NASCAR race, so I'm really stoked because I've always wanted to. But you know, I was always kind of either traveling or whatever, and then I was on the show, so I kind of never got around to get to a race. But I'm really excited that I'll be performing at the races, and I'll get to kind of maybe hopefully meet some of the drivers, and it'll be really exciting. My uncle is like a huge, huge NASCAR fan, so he's super happy for me as well. I think he wants to come up to the Pocono and to Dover. So he gets to go to a lot of the races, but it'll be really exciting. So be very cool.
Knowing that, if you ever need any tips or pointers about anything track related or off track related, you know, I'm out here. You don't have to wait
to
come on the show.
I know. I definitely would love some tips and pointers. That would be great. I even asked my uncle. I was like, you need to give me a cheat sheet or something. I'm like, I've never been to a NASCAR race before. I'm like, you know, I hope they don't get mad at me because I've never been at one. But now I've definitely become a NASCAR fan now that I'll be singing at them. So I've heard they're so awesome. Like just to be like, it's so much energy. It's so cool to be there. So. I'm really excited to see the races.
Well, any question you have right now, the first one off your line that you want to figure out, ask me, and then we'll touch base after a little later, off the record type of thing.
Absolutely.
Anything you
want to
ask me right now?
Who's your favorite NASCAR driver?
My favorite NASCAR driver, believe it or not, is the late Dale Earnhardt Sr. Right now, is trying to be objective. I like the rough and tumble, trade and paint type of guys. Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
Tony Stewart. Kyle Busch gets a bad rap, but this guy can flat out drive a car. He's kind of young. He just had a kid. He was out 11 races last year. Came back.
Wow.
And to make the chase for the championship, which is a whole new ball game, a couple of years ago, they revamped it. So, I guess this is the second time, which that's a whole thing in itself where they actually used to go 10 races, and then whoever had the most points at the end of that 10 won the championship. They reset the top 10 and all that. This year, it's the top 16. And then every three races, the bottom four are eliminated. So the championship comes down to one race at the end of the season amongst four guys. And whoever finishes the best or wins out of that, if you win, you get a championship. But if you finish the best out of the other four, you win the championship. And the last couple of years, it's come down to the winners of the race winning the championship. But right now, I got to side with Kyle Busch.
Awesome.
He's...
I do know those names.
And Tony Stewart
definitely...
used to be rough and tumble, but he's gotten banged up. And then Kyle Busch's story is he was at 11 races. They told him if he won a race and finished in the top 30 in points, he'd be eligible for the chase because if you win and you're guaranteed a spot. So anybody that wins is guaranteed a spot in the chase. So he won. and he climbed his way up the top at the 30th, and he won like three other races in that span and wound up winning the last race of the year for the championship. So he actually only ran 25 of the 36 races and won the championship.
That is incredible. What a story.
He used to throw tantrums and things back in the day. I can let you in a little secret. He's gotten a reputation for, if he had a bad day on the track, he'd disappear into the hall or then into his motorhome and nobody'd see him and throw tantrums and things like that. But I think with his injury and his birth of his son and all, he's a lot different person.
I think people change, you know. I mean, I think everybody, you know, in context, you know, everybody that's in the public eye, you know, we're all people, you know, everybody has, you know, their different sides and things like that to them. I don't think it qualifies them as a bad person. I just think, you know, everybody just has different personalities. But, you know, I guess with the people that are in the public eye, they can't show it as much as people that just are regular day-to-day people, you know. So it kind of makes it hard for people that are in the public eye to kind of, you know, kind of have those type of days where they want to throw a tantrum or, you know, they're not having a good day or whatsoever. So, but, you know, I think being in the public eye kind of myself, you know, when I hear about different things about people, I'm like, well, you know, they're just people. And, you know, it's as long as they change and they better themselves is, you know, a good thing. So. That's so cool, though. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, that is. And, you know, when you come in at something at such a young age like that, usually in the earlier days, these guys didn't come into the big league of the sport in their 20s. They didn't hit it until they're 30. Well, they had to grow in the junior league, so to speak. In the junior leagues in NASCAR, you still get some of the Sprint Cup Series drivers, which is driving in them, like Kyle Busch won four straight races. He was out at Martinsville last weekend, two weekends ago. He won the truck race of the truck that he owns, and then he won the cup race, and then he went to Texas and won the Xfinity Series, and then won the cup race. He won four straight races in three different series in 2 weekends.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. That is insane.
One of the nicest guys in the sport, Carl Edwards. He drives a 19 car. Now Kyle Busch's teammate used to drive for Roush. He went from Ford to Toyota. This is one of the nicest guys in the sport. He can be a little rough on the track, but off the track. And this is first-hand personal witness at Dover in the media center. And there's an old guy there, an old photographer. His name is Leroy. He used to be a dirt track racer back in the day, and he's the epitome of a dirty old man. Nicest guy in the world, funny as hell. But he'd hit on all the ladies, reporters, PR people.
He's
if
made
you
his rounds.
Over and he
Look
was there, he would hit on you too.
That is so funny. He's made his rounds. Then he's
He's
working his way around to hit on everybody.
about a fourth or fifth time. Well, I used to go to both Dover, cover both Dover races every year. And he was there, and we just watch him. And, you know, some people, there's a couple of them, these junior reporters got offended, but for the most part, everybody knew him. They dealt with it. Well, he had fallen and hurt himself pretty bad, broke his leg, and, you know, he was 80-something years old. Yeah.
Oh, that's like my grandpa's age. That's sad.
And he had a cane, and Carl Edwards, you know, saw him, asked him how he was doing, and Carl Edwards had injured his leg in a wreck, and he says, well, here, I got this cane. I'm going to give you my cane. You can come to the motor coach, and we'll set it up. He told his PR guy to take care of him, and he, you know, just out of the blue, gave the guy his cane. It was one of them fiberglass fancy dancy ones, as opposed to this old rickety old, it was like somebody carved something out of a tree type of deal, you know, the old school canes. But you know,
that's so funny. Oh my god.
Oh, I could tell you some interesting things, and So you'll
That's
be doing
super cool.
Bristol. You'll get to see the race from the inside as opposed to the stands, I think, unless they got your seats in the stands. It's a different atmosphere in the stands because you can unwind as a fan as opposed to having to work there. I went to Bristol the night race. It was one of my bucket list ones. And
oh, cool.
We got our tickets early enough, and we have a 2008 Mustang GT with a 5-speed, my wife's car.
Wow.
And being we got the tickets early enough, I said, bring your car, drive on the track.
Yeah.
So
they
you
let
know
you
what
drive
we did?
The track?
Well, yeah, it's like a couple of weeks. Like the race is like this weekend. The race was in August, and we got to go in like late July or early August because we had them in. And we followed the pace car, and you got to take laps around the track. They take you around a few times, let you out, you go back in line. We switched drivers, so we both got to drive on the track. I think I have a video of it on my Facebook page somewhere.
Oh, wow. You'll have to tag me in it so I can check it out.
And if not, we have it somewhere. And we took it on a phone, so good old cell phone. Man, we didn't have this stuff back in my day.
Nowadays, aren't they?
I know. People are saying, you know, back in the day, we used to have what they call, you probably heard about it, rotary phones, where you put your finger in a little ring and you turn the thing. And
oh, wow. No, I don't know if I actually heard of them. Huh.
Yeah. That was before. Then they went to the push button phones, which is basically the same thing, but instead of a dial,
right.
push button.
Oh my god!
Well, your
gosh,
folks should know about this.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do. I'll have to ask them.
What's this thing I hear they used to have called rotary phones?
Well, I'm sure my grandpa would know too, but I don't know. I don't know actually. What was back in their day? Because he's in his 80s, so I'm sure my mom and dad would know better, I guess.
Well, actually, back in his day, was my dad's 86 now.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just a generation ahead of you, or two. You're 20-something. You're young 20s.
24, yeah.
24, God bless you. Right, I'm a little over twice your age.
That's all right. You're still young.
I act your age, but I'm only I'm twice your age. See, I act your age with more experience.
Hey, that's all right. You still, you know, I think at any age, you definitely, you know, still want to have fun and live life and everything. So you're never too old to do anything.
I can tell you some stories. We'll do this off the air one time when we got more time.
Sure. Yep.
But so you're going to Bristol,
awesome.
And then you're doing Dover as well, which is cool.
Yes. I'm trying to think what date that is. I have it on my calendar. So
is it the May race or the October race? It'll be May 15th weekend. I can pull the schedule up right here, dear.
It might be. You know what, I think I have it on my Facebook.
One month from this weekend is the first Dover race. It used to be the first week after Memorial Day.
Yes, it'll be May. May 14th. Why is that on there? I don't know.
It'll be 13th, 14th, and 15th. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Oh, I actually have my cousin. Oh, wait a minute. I think that's the wrong date. September 30th. Because I have my cousin's wedding that weekend of Dover. So, the May weekend I have my cousin's wedding. So,
September 30th.
So it'll be
October 1st and 2nd.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the good race. That's the Chase race. That race there. It used to be the second race of the Chase season. Now it's the third race, and there's a most importance of that one is that's the first elimination race. So you'll have the 16 drivers, and after the Dover race, they'll cut it down to 12. So that's a key race.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh.
And then Richmond, which is in Richmond, is considered in September is the last race before the trade. So anybody that's not in is going to drive like mad to either gain in points or win that race to get into the chase. And that's now a night race, another under the lights in Richmond. I'm going to try to get to cover that one. So if you're going to that one, because I'm the PR lady of Richmond, is another friend of mine who does the show regularly, and I might put you two together.
Sounds good.
Because if you do stuff, and if you do press conferences in the media center, if they ask you to do one, do one. Then
yeah,
you get
absolutely.
And we'll definitely talk off the air. But I'll help you out because you have Melissa, but on this end, you have me. Let's motorsport.
Absolutely.
End.
Well, that sounds perfect.
Shame.
I
didn't
appreciate
know
you having me on today. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I would have
I wish I would have
been on by and stop in either on the way out or on the way home. I would have taken a vacation day or something from my other gig.
Oh man, I wish I would have known. I would have let you know. I didn't even realize that you lived so close by.
Yeah. Well.
Well, next time then I'll be. Be there next time. That way you can come.
At least want to catch the show and meet you backstage. I mean, all you get to see is that ratty old picture of me on my profile and all the other ones of you know how much weight I lost from when I first came on Facebook to this to the profile one is actually taking Christmas Day in a red T-shirt.
Aww, that's so funny. It's okay. I don't judge.
but
yeah, we'll definitely get to meet. Well, absolutely. Since I'm doing this NASCAR thing, I'm sure we will definitely get to meet one day or another.
We'll figure it out. We'll definitely will be in touch a little, maybe if you'd like, a little more often off the air and, so we'll see you in Bristol.
Absolutely.
Your fans will see you in Bristol.
Yes,
this coming
they will.
Weekend.
I'm excited.
And hope everybody enjoyed tuning. That got to tune in. I hope everybody tuned in to hear us banter for almost the whole show.
That's all right. They'll get some good stuff to listen to.
That's for sure, and I'll check out your Audra's social media pages on Facebook. I give them all out. You're on Twitter, too?
Yeah, Twitter, it's AudraLynn21, Facebook, Audra Lynn McLaughlin, Instagram, Audra McLaughlin Music. So, yeah, I'm everywhere. They can, and then if they want to go to my website, it's AudraMcLaughlin.com, and all of my social media links are actually attached to my website, so that might actually be easier for them to visit my website first.
I think with all the social media, does anybody really use it? Even I have a website, I barely use it because of social media.
I know.
It's like instantaneous. And much,
yeah,
but,
I mean, I think like some like different people maybe in the music business, they kind of like to go visit the website. But, yeah, I'm kind of old-fashioned I kind of like using like Facebook and Twitter and all those. I can interact with my fans, which is awesome. You know, I like to chit chat with them, and you know, it's good that they've opened up all these social media outlets.
Yeah, we had to do things back in the day, like type on paper and handwrite.
I know.
At least I've evolved and didn't stay stuck as an old curmudgeon and. You know.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thank you again for having me on the show today, and you know, I'm looking forward to coming back on the show soon.
Anytime you want. You want to call in every week to touch base, that's fine with me, but it is usually on a Tuesday. But being
awesome.
I definitely wanted to have you on live, so
thank you. And I'm sorry, thank you again for accommodating me today. I really, really appreciate it. Make sure that my fans get to tune into the podcast if they missed it.
Okie dokie, that'll be good because then, you know, it's locked in there forever. Just have to scroll down and look for the episode that has your name in it. And
yes.
But after the show, it'll be the first one up. Next week's show, I'll move it down a notch and so on and so forth. And any new songs you want to plug coming out? I know your last one was Tennessee Cowboy, and I know you and Melissa was working on one together that actually, I guess, it's going to be her release, so she's got to come on too.
Yeah, so we'll be my EP just got finished, so we're going to be announcing an official release date very soon. So everybody can just kind of follow me on social media. That way they can kind of keep updated for the official release date for the EP. So that'll be coming out very, very shortly, actually. So excited.
Any suggestions for a theme song?
A theme song?
Yeah, I don't have a theme song. Do you have any suggestions?
A theme song for your show?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have a favorite song?
I got a boatload of favorite songs, but I don't have anything specific to me or the show. But anyway, text me. Come up with some ideas.
I will, absolutely.
And
Sounds perfect.
Again for joining me on Garage Talk Live. And
Thank you.
We'll be in touch and promote everything you got going on, young lady.
Thank you so much, Vince. Well, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I will talk to you very soon.
Okie dokie, you have a wonderful day, too, and have a safe trip down this neck of the woods and
get your
cell phone battery charged and just put it on video and take some shots of the scenery or some stills. Get to pull over at some of the nicer spots.
I'll take lots of pictures. That way I have a whole boatload of pictures.
And then when you hit Withville, if you come up, you probably come down 80. The smart bet would be to avoid the traffic on I-95. Have whoever takes you come across the turnpike, get off exit in Carlisle, and hit I-81 south. It'll run you right on down into Bristol.
All righty. That sounds good. I will let them know. Perfect, perfect. All right, Vince.
We'll
have a great day, okay?
You too. Sorry to keep you on so long.
Oh, it's okay. No worries. I'll talk to you very soon, all right?
All righty. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
There you have it. Singer-songwriter Audra McLaughlin from Team 6. From Season 6 of The Voice on Team Blake. Embarking on her NASCAR radio tour, it's more like a track tour. She's doing local stations, and we just got to have her first, because she told me this was coming up last month. But anyway, back to the action. Check her out. Go to her Facebook page, Audra Lynn McLaughlin. There's a check mark, so you know it's her official page. And she'll be performing at a speedway near you. But anyway, this weekend everything was down in Texas for the O'Reilly Auto Parts 300 Xfinity Series race. And lo and behold, to win his third race in a row was number 18, Kyle Rowdy Bush. He started from the pole, finished first, led four times for 150. Of the 200 laps, what more can you say? The only person close to him the only other people that led the race were Kyle Larson. He led once for 38 laps, and Eric Jones, who's Kyle's teammate in the Xfinity Series as a rookie, led twice for 12 laps. But Kyle is not the winningest driver in the Xfinity Series for nothing. He's that good. And like, if you listen to me and Audra talk about him, he's one of the guys I like to watch because he's fun to watch. And he's got boatloads of talent. You don't miss 11 races in a Sprint Cup Series and come back and win a championship. And after winning at Martinsville, he's locked in to the chase. So the only thing that he would have to do now is whatever he wants because he's in. Well, this win on Saturday, on Friday was his third win in a row. He had won the truck race in Martinsville, the cup race in Martinsville, and now the Xfinity race in Texas. So the only thing left to do would have been the sweep. But, you know, let's run down everything else. Eric Jones, second. Brad Keselowski was third. Chase Elliott, fourth. Fifth, Dale Earnhardt Jr. Sixth, Justin Allgaier. Seventh, Elliott Sadler. Eighth, Austin Dillon. Ninth, Brandon Jones. And Ryan Sieg is in 10th. There were five cautions for 22 laps. Fairly clean for, well, Texas, a high-speed race as it is. And six lead changes amongst three drivers. Kyle Busch, Eric Jones, and Kyle Larson. In the points series, Daniel Suarez tops the points by one over Elliott Sadler. Justin Allgaier's third. Fourth, Brandon Jones. Fifth is Eric Jones. In the Cup Series, Saturday night, the Duck Commander 500. 500 miles, 334 laps. Actually went 501 miles. Kyle Busch again. Led twice for 34 laps, but he didn't dominate the race. He led the last 34 laps. He took it on a restart with 33 to go and went on to win his fourth consecutive race, giving him two wins in a row on the Sprint Cup Series, tying him with Jimmy Johnson for the top seed. The big leader of the race, believe it or not, was Martin Truex Jr., who led six times for 141 laps, and then Carl Edwards led four times for 124 laps. So they were the dominant factors in the race itself. The race was rain-delayed a bit for a couple hours. Did kick off of 9:30 Eastern time instead of 7:30 when it was supposed to, and ran for 3 hours and 37 minutes and 16 seconds. It was dry after that. Average speed, 138 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 3.9, almost 4 seconds. So once Kyle got ahead of everybody, off he went. Nobody could catch him. It was just a matter, would a caution come out in that last 34 laps or not? It didn't. So he went on to take the checkered flag and win his second consecutive race there. Right now, he's at the top of the points with 259 with two wins over Jimmy Johnson with two wins, who has 253. There's a six-point gap there. Harvick is third, Carl Edwards fourth, Joey Logano fifth, Dale Jr. sixth, seventh, Kurt Busch, eighth, Denny Hamlin, ninth, Brad Keselowski, Austin Dillon 10th, Truex Jr. 11th, Kenseth 12th, Jamie McMurray 13th, Chase Elliott, 14th, 15th, A.J. Allmendinger, and 16th is Kasey Kahne. Harvick is, and the only ones not in the top five that will be reseeded there, or at least until other people get more wins, it would be Denny Hamlin in 8th, Brad Keselowski in 9th. They're tied in points, but they both have a win, so they would move up to the top of the pile as it is this week. As for aforementioned with Audra, Bristol. Coming up, and this is the day race of the season. Of course, Richmond coming up will be a day race this week, too. They'll be running that one next weekend, I think. Yeah. Have to check see if Gil Smith is approved, and we'll have to let him know because we did put him in. He does represent Garage Talk Live, Richmond International, so to go from there. Now, looking ahead to Bristol this coming weekend, don't base the night race with the this race. So, as of this race, Chenzeth did win this race last season. Johnson was second, Gordon was third, Stenhouse fourth. This race did run a little over 11 laps. This race last year ran over about 11 laps last year. So it should be interesting to see who does what. Now, if I did want to take it to the August race, where things change a little bit, we have Joey Logano at the top of the heap with Harvick and Hamlin. This is kind of as the chase setup was going on. So we'll have the list for there. But right now, I don't think Kyle Busch will win three in a row. He might win the Xfinity race on Saturday. But as far as the Cup race, winning three in a row anymore is tough. If anybody could do it, it's probably him. But I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. So I think I'm going to go with, I know I picked Joey Logano last week. So I'm going to take a long shot, say it's up in the air. I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin for this week. So that's going to be my pick for the race this weekend. Let me just double check to see how he fared in race number one. Apparently, he finished 26th, but he started 5th, so he had a good running car. I think he's going to get it done this year, though. We'll give it to Hamlin. He didn't lead any laps, but the biggest lap leader in this one was Harvick. You know what? I changed my mind. We're going to go with Kevin Harvick. So that's going to be my official pick for this weekend, Kevin Harvick. Anyway, I'd like to thank my guest, singer-songwriter Audra McLaughlin, for joining me and you could tune into the podcast of this show. If you missed her live, you can catch her at blogtalkradio.com/garagetalklive. And the podcast will be up shortly after I sign off. So don't forget to check her out on her Facebook page, her Twitter page, and you can listen to her. She's got an EP coming out. She'll be at Bristol this weekend, so you'll get to hear her sing in person if you're going. So don't be afraid to check her out. Anyway, that's our show for today. I'm Vince Bonfigli. You've been listening to Garage Talk Live here on blogtalkradio.com. We wish everybody a good day and good racing. We'll be back on Tuesday next week, so we'll make sure everything is some guests lined up, so we'll see you then. Have a good one. Bye now.